From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. I'm so excited for today's show. It is hump day, and we have a treat for you. Welcome, welcome, one and all. Thanks for being here with me. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Just going to bring my next guest on. She almost needs no introduction. If you've been listening to me for a while, you've heard her twice on this fine program. I cite to her fantastic work, Letters from an American, the number one Substack, very frequently in my shows. Her name's Heather Cox Richardson. She's a professor at Boston University, a historian, and now a three-time guest here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Welcome back, Heather.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
So much happening. You and I, as we were preparing to get on the air, talking about, boy, we can barely keep up with the flow of news. But I wanted to start to get your perspective. Judge Dugan was recently arrested for alleged so-called obstruction of justice and basically harboring a fugitive. I think these charges are bogus. I know Judge Dugan personally. She's a judge of highest ethics. We can maybe get into a little bit of that, but I wanted to start and ask you sort of an open-ended question, Heather, about Donald Trump's attacks on the judiciary. Just this past week, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, addressing a room full of judges and lawyers, said this, quote, "Across the nation, judges are facing increased threats of not only physical violence, but also professional retaliation just for doing our job. And the attacks are not random. They seem designed to intimidate those of us who serve in this critical capacity." She continued, telling the judges in the room, "I urge you to keep going, keep doing what is right for our country, and I do believe that history will vindicate your service." The audience gave her a lengthy standing ovation. Also on Friday, Judge Beryl Howell, the judge overseeing the lawsuit brought by Perkins Coie, one of the large law firms, the first one that Donald Trump targeted with effectively a gag order and gag-inducing executive order, I should say. The law firm did challenge that in court, not one of the law firms that capitulated to the extortionist in chief. Here's what Judge Beryl Howell had to say about Donald Trump's order that targeted Perkins Coie. Quote, "In a cringeworthy twist on the theatrical phrase, let's kill all the lawyers, Donald Trump's order was more specifically, let's kill the lawyers I don't like, sending the clear message, lawyers must stick to the party line or else." Yikes. We've got Donald Trump's border czar now threatening the governor of the state of Wisconsin. Where does this moment sit in terms of a historical perspective, Heather? How unusual or not are Donald Trump's nearly daily attacks on the judiciary?
Well, let's also add in there Judge Esther Salas, whose son was murdered when somebody showed up at her door looking for her. And she's been out talking about the delivery of pizzas to judges or members of their family, sometimes pizzas that were ordered in her son's name, with the clear message that we know where you live and look what happened to Judge Salas' son. That, I think, brings home just how chilling the attacks are. But I would say that there are really two ways to look at them. One is that the Trump administration has tried to work outside the Constitution or deliberately breaking laws. And they've done so with the idea that they're going to get rid of the efficacy of Congress, for example, to make laws. They're what the Constitution says is supposed to make laws. And also to destroy the judiciary. But they're being stopped in that, not by Congress, You know, the degree to which the Republicans, especially in the Senate, have sort of rolled over and let Trump do whatever he wanted has been quite a surprise to a number of people, including me. While the Congress hasn't stood against him, the judges have. And that's not just Democrat-appointed judges. It's also Republican-appointed judges have stood up against him. So at one level, going after the judges is an attempt to get rid of the brakes that the judiciary are putting on his behavior and to whip up his supporters to create violence or threats against those people so that they will back down. That's really pretty classic authoritarianism. But the second way to look at them, I think, is maybe what happened to the judge in Wisconsin. And that's that because the Trump administration is in fact in the process of failing in virtually everything it promised to do. I shouldn't even say virtually, in everything it promised to do. It's underwater in every single aspect of the administration. They're increasingly engaging in performances that are designed to goose their base. And so, for example, last weekend we saw Trump saying he was going to put a tariff on foreign-made films. We saw him saying he was going to reopen Alcatraz. Now, I mean, that's, first of all, how do you do the one? And second of all, Alcatraz closed in 1963 because it was too expensive to operate then. It was three times any place else. It has a maximum capacity of about 273 people. And, you know, it's now one of the most popular national parks in the country. So this is just, I'm throwing words at you that you might react to, that you're going to be convinced that I'm a strong man. And in the case of arresting this judge, in less than a week after there was, I believe, a single criminal complaint sworn against her, so there was no time to respond, and to do it with photographs taken of her in handcuffs,
right,
and do it in such a way that, you know, many of the commentators that I've been reading, and I am not a lawyer, say there's no way this is going to stand up, is really sort of the flash in the pan. We want a quick reaction from our base. And then, like so many other things, it's simply going to, you know, fall by the wayside and people are going to forget about it. So I think we both have the attempt to create a strong man, but also the attempt to create an image of a strong man at a time when the first part of that equation isn't going terribly well.
Heather, you put your finger on something that I think is essential to the MAGA political strategy and movement, and I call it the act as if. Regardless of whether it's lawful, constitutional, regardless of whether it reflects a conservative or Republican value or policy platform, regardless of its actual impact, we're going to act as if the president has these powers. He doesn't, right? Act as if this is normal. Act as if it is a true choice between having a secure border and having due process, right? Act as if we can't accomplish both things and proceed accordingly. The court's against standing up against all that. Heather, you also alighted upon something that has been so, I have been surprised by it. And that is the fact that in both chambers of Congress, Republicans have simply laid down. To the extent that we see Rand Paul, Susan Collins, and Lisa Murkowski on the Senate side, at least trying to rein in the assertion of emergencies as a pretext for this wild, completely unhinged tariff, quote, policy, it's a little too late, right? Too little and too late. What do you make of a branch of government simply watching its power be leached away or grabbed away? One of the framers' fundamental assumptions was that each branch would vigorously guard against the other branches encroaching on its powers. Not happening today, though.
The framers didn't foresee the rise of political parties. And what we have seen is the takeover of the former Republican Party by a faction that puts loyalty to that faction above the country, above the Constitution, above everything. And that was simply something that the framers didn't see coming. Now, what I've thought was interesting about it, though, is that, and this is a piece that a lot of people forget, is that there is a struggle over what the Republican Party is going to become. And what the people that I would call establishment Republicans, although they too are the extremists of the party, not the traditional party, but they were willing to try to get along with the MAGA side because they wanted MAGA's voters. Now we're in a really interesting moment where, in fact, Trump became president in January of 2025. Trump seems to me pretty clearly a figurehead. If you listen to him talk, he doesn't really understand what's going on. He keeps deferring to other people. He says he doesn't, you know, he was not the one that made the decision about the rendering of these migrants to El Salvador. Yes. He says he's going to defer to his lawyers about the Constitution. He is constantly sort of saying, I'm not really in charge here. But that raises the question of who is. And one of the things that you look for a lot in political systems is the idea of power. Who's got power? And is power lying around loose? And if it is lying around loose, who's making a play to get it? And one of the things that I thought would happen in the beginning of this administration, or at least I hoped would, is that senators would recognize that power sloshing around and they'd say, hey, we will take you that thank you very much. And in fact, they didn't. And just by the way, you can think of a moment when the country was like this in the 1920s, when the Republicans who take power in the landslide election of 1920 were accustomed to being resistant to the Democrats. That was what they were really good at, was saying no. So once Harding gets elected and takes office in 2021, Harding basically just wants to drink and smoke upstairs at the White House. Right. And the Congress can't really figure out how to use its power. So that's when you get the Secretary of Commerce, Herbert Hoover, and the Secretary of the Treasury, Andrew Mellon, stepping in and scooping up all that power. And they're really the people who designed the 1920s, the political system in the 1920s. But in the modern American setting, the senators did not scoop up that power. They did not assert their power. And instead, you saw the attempt of somebody like billionaire Elon Musk to grab it all for Doge. But you are also seeing, I think, as his star is falling, the power of somebody like Stephen Miller, who yes. is the White House Deputy Chief of Staff, who is clearly, probably with the help of Kristi Noem, the one who is pushing the immigration policies. But you've also got Russell Vogt of Project 2025, who's sitting at the Office of Management and Budget, who is the one pushing the executive orders that are defunding, for example, so much of the American government. So, you know, I'm sitting here watching this, and I'm looking at power, as I say, being contested in the White House and in our system. But nobody yet has a grip on it. And you can see pushback among some members now of Congress saying, you know, we're actually not going to put Doge's policies into law the way you're asking us to, and we're going to try and get around you in these ways or those ways. But the other group that is not really being talked about here that seems to me to be working at grabbing that power is the American people. And that's a really important twist in all this, that if all that power is going to slosh around and be run and be in the hands of people who are doing things that the American people don't actually like, maybe the American people are going to take it back. And if that happens, we in fact have a sea change coming.
Folks, that is historian and author of Letters from an American, the number one Substack, Heather Cox Richardson. She's my very special guest for the first hour here on the Maggie Dawn Show. We're going to take care of some business. We'll be right back. We're going to dive deep on Donald Trump, the authoritarian. Do you know his 79th birthday is coming up? Anybody want to hazard a guess as what the man has in mind for it? Get your jackboots out. My name's Maggie Dawn. We'll be back in just a moment right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.